Misi.
The second scripture reading this morning is from Acts 27, 13 through 26. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught up by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. Excuse me. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sailed with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. How many of you have ever been taken on a ride you didn't want to go on? I remember when I was young at the fairs and at Six Flags over Georgia and some other places, sometimes I'd go on a ride I didn't really want to go on. You know, I love the roller coaster rides. The change of direction is good. What I do not like is the rides that do the same thing. You ever been on the ship? I was asked to go on the ship when I was a kid and go up and down after I had an elephant ear. And by the time we were done, I didn't have the elephant ear. You get on a ride like that, a ride you don't want to go in, but of course you're encouraged to go ahead and go on the ride. So you go on the ride and sometimes you suffer consequences. Or the up-down stuff. I'm not really good with the up-down stuff where like you're up there and then they just drop it on you and you're, whoa, and that sort of thing. You probably could think of maybe not a ride like that. You've been on some kind of a ride in your life that you did not want to go on, yet you had to go on it anyway. Well, we're going to get to that this morning because there was a ride that Paul didn't want to go on, but he was on this ride anyway. You see, Paul had been jailed. Jailed for his faith, and now he appealed to Caesar. And you know, by the way, we're at near the end of Acts. We've been on this for way over a year now, and we're towards the very end of the book of Acts. But here he is now. He appealed to Caesar, and because he appealed to Caesar, he needs to have a ride to Italy on a boat. The wrong time of the year to ride on a boat. At least to those who were captains out on the sea, this was not a really good time to be riding in a boat. It was a dangerous time to be sailing. And it would get even dangerous if they left a little bit later. But Paul was on a ride, he didn't want to be on. And I think you and I in our lives can relate sometimes to being on a ride we don't want to be on. We hear something we don't want to hear. Life takes a turn we didn't want, and so we find ourselves on a ride we don't want to be on. Paul, in this story that's shared with us, he saw disaster coming. The Lord had told him disaster was coming. In verses 9 through 12 in the text that was read, we hear that disaster is coming. What would cause others to ignore his advice? Paul wasn't the captain of the ship, so I imagine the captain of the ship would have thought, you don't know more than I know. I'm the one who has the experience, and I say we go, so we're going to go. I know more than you. My experience says otherwise. Maybe it was greed, because they wanted to get to where they wanted to go, and they didn't want to winter where they were going to winter, and they said, let's just go. But whatever the case was, Paul was told what was going to happen, and they said no. We're going to go. We're going to go on a ride that you don't want to be on. They didn't think that, but Paul knew that. The present situation wasn't really that good, because they knew if they stayed where they were going to stay, it says right there in the text that that wasn't a harbor to winter at. They needed to do something. They thought this was the thing to do. Let's go further. Let's keep going. Paul said, shouldn't. I know something you don't know. How sometimes in our lives we think we know where we should go and when we should go do it. And maybe there are times in our life we're being cautioned by God Himself to not do it, to not go where we think we should go, not do what we think we should do, because we've got our own narrow interest in mind, and God has a larger picture that He knows about. God knew the large picture here, didn't He? He knew what was going to happen when they left and they were sailing. And He told Paul, probably not every detail, but He told Paul enough that Paul knew to tell them, I'm just warning you, if you go, it's going to be disastrous for all of us. Sometimes it looks good right now. You see in verse 13 what it says there. Let me look at the text again. I'm in the wrong chapter here. Verse 13 of the text, it says this. Then when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they'd obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. It looked good right now. It looked like everything was in place the way it should be. They thought this is a good time to go, and so they left. How sometimes that can be deceiving in our own life too. You know, oftentimes it's the devil's setup before something happens. When God tells us one thing and the devil is saying another, you know, the devil usually tries to show us an easy path to whatever, doesn't he? If he showed us a hard path, it wouldn't be tempting, would it? If the devil said, you know, the road ahead for you is going to be really, really, really rough, and this is the way you should go, is there anyone here with any intelligence whatsoever that would say, oh yeah, I'd like to go on that path, wouldn't I? I don't think so. But sometimes God tells us the truth. He always tells us the truth, but sometimes we find out that the path ahead might be kind of hard. But what's He tell us if we take that path? I will go with you. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. Well, here in the text, as Paul shares with them in the first few verses, disaster is coming. And they finally take off because it looked right to them, even though they did not heed Paul's warning. They are now blindsided by the storm in verses 14 through 20. I should have known, but I ignored it. I'm sure that's what the captain might have been saying. I should have known, but I ignored it. Now what? Now what? You're stuck in the middle of a storm. And so you're now in the middle of the storm. And you see, when you and I are in the middle of the storm, it can so distract us, can't it? It can so distract us that we can't keep our focus where we ought to keep our focus, from the solution, from the voice of our captain, not their captain, but our captain. We should be listening to our captain, not their captain, not my own personal captain, which might be my own view of things, but listen to the captain as he's trying to tell us how to get through the storm. But you know, sometimes you and I have to hit bottom before we listen. Sometimes we just have to hit bottom before we listen. They, in verse 20 in this text, had given up hope. But Paul's going to share with them, you still have hope, because my God has told me that we are going to be spared. The ship will be gone, but we will be spared. There's a lesson to learn there. Now will we listen to the voice of God? Now will we listen to the voice of God? Now that Paul has shared with them that there is hope, now will they listen to the voice of God? Now will you and I listen to the voice of God? Until we know we need saving, a lot of times we don't listen. They literally knew they needed saving. And Paul was sharing with them about the one who's in the saving business. God is in the saving business. He gave us his Savior, Jesus Christ, who's in the saving business. You know what I find so awesome about the God who loves us, the one and only God who loves us? He is such a patient God. Even when we ignore him, he offers a solution. You know, some of us would say, if you aren't going to listen, then go ahead. Make a mess of your life. Do what you want to do. I gave you a chance. That's it. But we don't have a God who's like that. We have a God who's patient with us. And even though we ignore him, he offers us a solution. Now, granted, I don't know how long God will tarry with a stubborn heart and a stubborn mind. But God gives us a solution even when we ignore him. And he gave the solution to the captain, the ship captain, as he offered it to Paul and said, share with him and those who were there. There was a solution. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the life continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice. I don't think he was necessarily saying that to say, told you so. But he was telling them, I did tell you not to sail. Then you would have been spared, and this damage and loss wouldn't happen. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel told me this. Paul tells them, the one who's in the saving business is going to save you in spite of yourself. So he tells them, be strong and courageous, because God will provide a way for you. I want to encourage you with this morning, to be strong and courageous, because God will provide a way to save you and me when we're in our struggles. That oft-repeated phrase that is spoken first of all in Deuteronomy and repeated several times throughout scriptures, where he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's God's promise to his children. He says that to us repeatedly. Be strong and courageous, because God will provide a way to save you and me, whatever the struggle might be. Sometimes we find ourselves, as I close, on a ride we didn't want to be on, like Paul. God's advising us how to navigate what is coming. We just have to trust him. And sometimes you and I don't want to trust God, because we think we know better. We think we know what we should do, and so we don't consult the one who knows better than we do. We think we know the way we should go, and we trust in ourselves, or we trust in someone else, but we don't trust in him. I encourage you and me today to trust him with what is coming. God will help us to navigate it. Just like God showed Paul and all those who were on the ship, even though they didn't listen at first. I am providing you a way through this. He didn't take him out of it, did he? He provided a way through it. You and I live in a world where there's a multitude of voices saying something different. Don't listen to all those voices. Listen to the voice of God. Don't listen, oftentimes, to the majority. Sometimes the temptation is to go with the majority. The majority says this. Sometimes we find ourselves in the minority, like Paul. Paul listened to God. God told him what needed to be done. Paul listened and shared with the others. And as we're going to know later on in the story next week, they listened. And they were spared. So, if the storm is here, the storm has arrived, and you find yourself in the storm, now what? Listen to the one who controls the winds and the waves of life. He will eventually bring calm, and he will save you. I want to encourage you with that this morning. Because we sometimes are trying to get through those storms all by ourselves. Sometimes we're in the storms because we created it ourselves when we should have been listening earlier. Many people would give up on us if we don't listen. Not God. He shares with us again. Dave, get it right this time. Trust me. I've been trustworthy before. And I'll be trustworthy again. So you can trust me with this right now. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God, we thank you and praise you for your word. You reveal to us that you indeed are our captain. Oftentimes we're listening to others. Help us to listen to the right voice, to your voice. Whatever it is in life that we're going through, help us to always consult you and not consult everybody and their brother. You will help us navigate the storm if indeed that is what we need to go through. You will provide a way where there seems to be no way. For all that, we are grateful and thankful in the precious name of the one who lived and died and rose again for us. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.